Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again. Good to be with you. And there are so many things going on, so many interesting things. I am just blown away by how many things we could actually talk about today. I'm going to try to make it brief. Some of the things that I think have happened just recently, a couple days ago, did you happen to catch the super blue blood moon that happened? It was a total lunar eclipse during a blue moon. And the moon went entirely red. I tell you what, I got up early in the morning just in time to catch it, and I'm looking out the back window at it, and just as it was about to turn red, there's a slight sliver of white still on the moon. It disappeared behind the trees, so I had to find a live video feed from somewhere else in the world to watch it, but it was quite astounding. So that was a gift, I think. I may be wrong, I didn't verify this, but I think they said there hasn't been one of those since 1866, so that was quite a while ago. Let's see, what else is going on? Well, it's Super Bowl weekend. I don't think I have to remind any of you about that. I am, even as a Packers fan, I am disappointed that the Vikings couldn't have made it to the Super Bowl here at home in Minneapolis. I think that would have been a tremendous gift, not just to the team, but to the whole of the community. So I'm sad. I mourn with you up until the beginning of next season anyway. So also, what else is going on? It's Black History Month now. I just caught on Instagram, for those of you who are on Instagram, the USCCB put together a nice little video clip honoring some of the people of African descent who are on the path to sainthood. It's a short little clip, but man, I learned some things, and including the first man in the United States who was known to be African-American who was ordained a priest. So it's just a great gift that way, too. And I hope that throughout this month, you are remembering those of African heritage and celebrating Black History Month as well. Okay, what else? Another big breath. Today, when we're recording the show, it is Groundhog Day, February 2nd. If you're listening on the 3rd or the 4th, of course, you've already found this out. Perhaps you already do as you listen to the show at 9 p.m. on Friday. But it's Groundhog Day, and I believe Punxsutawney Phil did see his shadow, meaning 6 more weeks of winter. But you know what? I mean, we're in Minnesota. I mean, is that any surprise to us? Of course there'll be 6 more weeks of winter. I think most of us would be surprised if it felt like spring before, say, the beginning of April, right? So that's another thing that's going on. And I just out of curiosity, I'm wondering, I'm assuming Punxsutawney Phil is pulling for the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Punxsutawney's a little bit closer to Pittsburgh, so I'm guessing that he would have been going for the Steelers if that were the case. But sadly, like the Packers and now the Vikings, the Steelers have been eliminated as well. Anyway, okay, so what else? Let's turn our minds and thoughts a little bit more to the liturgical calendar, as I like to do. And as we head into this, the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, we've got some great feast days. Today, again, Friday, is the Presentation of the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful feast today. Put away the Friday fasting and bring out the goodies for the Presentation of the Lord. Just to reflect a little bit on that, you know, this is the time when 40 days after Jesus' birth, his mother, his surrogate father, St. Joseph, and the Blessed Virgin Mary bring him into the temple, presenting him to the Lord in accordance with the Mosaic law. And we find that there they meet St. Simeon and St. Anna there in the temple. And I have always had this fascination with St. Simeon. I am just astounded by this. I look forward, please God, to one day when I get to meet him and speak with him and to know a little bit more about that experience. Can you imagine this incredible experience of this man waiting for years for the promise of the Lord to be fulfilled? And that's what was running through my mind as I was thinking about the show today and just how rich the symbolism there is when the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph bring the baby Jesus into the temple in fulfillment of the Mosaic Law, and there stands Simeon, Simeon as a sort of encapsulation of all that has come before. And in that beautiful prayer that he prays, which we know in the church tradition now as the Nunc Dimittis, and the prayer that is said actually every night during night prayer, the night prayer of the Liturgy of the Hours, that beautiful song that he sings, Lord, you now let your servant go in peace. And then he says, your word has been fulfilled. And I think about that. Think about that not just in the Lord's promise specifically to Simeon. I think it's a much broader statement than that. Look at it in terms of the entirety of the Old Testament. Your word, and remember the writing prophets, it's always written of the writing prophets, the word of the Lord came to Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, you know, whoever it might be, Obadiah, Malachi, the word of the Lord came to, the word kept coming to these prophets for the prophet to share it. And as that, as those words come, there's always the promise of something more. There's always the promise that that word will be fulfilled. And there's Simeon in that one line, grabbing on to that fulfillment in the person who is the word made flesh. Your word has been fulfilled. Yeah, my own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the light of all peoples. In the sight of all peoples, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. What a wonderful, beautiful song and prayer that we can keep with us. And as I said, since it's a night prayer of the church, I would recommend that everybody use that as a beautiful bedtime prayer. Yeah, and so that's what's going on Friday. And if you're celebrating or have celebrated with us on Friday, great, the presentation of the Lord. But if not, maybe take some time, pray through those joyful mysteries on the rosary, especially that fourth one, the presentation, yeah, today. And think about, meditate on the word of all time leading up to the person of Jesus Christ and then being fulfilled in and through him. And I think that informs us that we need to be disciples. We need to be disciples of the word. We need to be students of the word. And really, as we are now thinking about what's coming in the show here, that's what we're going to be focusing on is specifically in our Great Catholic Parishes segment, what's going on at St. Hubert, the parish of St. Hubert's in Chanhassen. And we are going to be talking with the pastor, Father Rolf Tollefson, as well as Deacon Jim Baus, who is on full-time staff there, and a parishioner, Greer Hussey, who will be with us as well, all in the studio, and a great conversation about their own parish discipleship program. How are they encouraging their own parishioners to grow deeper in the faith, to become richer students of Christ and richer followers of him as well? So that is what is to come in this midst of this beautiful season that so many things are happening in and around us. And I think we should rejoice and give thanks to the Lord, dedicating the show to him through, as always, the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So let us pray together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are going to go into our first break, but when we come back, Father Rolf Tollefson and Deacon Jim Baus talking about the Parish Discipleship Program at St. Hubert's.
Catholic United Financial is all about life and the richness and joy it brings to the families and communities they serve every single day. And they have been for over 138 years. As a fraternal life insurance company, after expenses are paid and reserves are set aside, Catholic United pays it forward and pours their profits back into the communities they serve as grants, scholarships, and more. Think of them as a financial cooperative with a helpful heart. We're all betting the unexpected won't happen to us, right? Unfortunately, events like serious life-threatening health problems can set you back financially, draining your savings or future retirement income. A Catholic United life insurance policy may be able to offset the cost of this care that could cause costs thousands of dollars per month. Visit CatholicUnitedFinancial.org or call 651-765-6548. Enjoy your life and connect with your local Catholic United rep. Find out how they can help you be ready to face the unexpected, because help is what they do.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again. Good to be with you as we talk today about the Parish Discipleship Program going on at St. Hubert's in Chanhassen, and as part of our Great Catholic Parishes ongoing series that we bring to you on the first weekend of every month. Joining me now in studio, the pastor of St. Hubert's in Chanhassen, Father Rolf Tollefson, and Deacon Jim Baus, who is there full-time as his, not as his assignment, but as his employment, as his job there. They're both here in studio. Good morning, gentlemen. Good to have you on the show.
Hello.
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. Father, just a quick question for you. How long have you been pastor there at St. Hubert's?
I've finished 6 years, and this is now my seventh year.
Seventh year. Mm-hmm. Wow. And how's it been?
Loved it. It's been a wonderful place to learn to the virtue of humility, as well as to learn how to decrease so the Lord can increase and do the things only He can do.
Right, right. Well, that's always good for all of us. Not always comfortable, I would suppose, but always good for all of us. And Deacon, how long have you had a job there at St. Hubert's?
Just made 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Okay, excellent. And your assignment is at St. Joseph's in Waconia, is that correct?
Correct, and that was now almost a year.
Almost a year, okay. But you were ordained a deacon back in 2010,
is
that right?
September of 2010, and the first 6.5 years I was serving at Guardian Angels in Chaska.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, very good. Nice. And just out of curiosity, do you live in that general neighborhood?
I live in Chaska, so my commute to St. Hubert's is just 5 miles.
That's nice.
It truly is.
Yeah.
And my commute out to St. Joseph's is 13, but I'm generally going against traffic.
Always a gift.
Yes,
when you're going against traffic. Wonderful. All right, so let's jump in a little bit more. Well, first, let's set the stage. So what is the mission of St. Hubert's Parish?
It's a great question, and we spent many hours, days, weeks, months working on this mission and vision. I got help from some people in the parish to be able to do this, put in a plug for the Prouty Project, Mike Faumley, and working together with all the different models and learning about the models from, the books we've been reading by the discipleship books, as well as the five signs of, or four signs of a dynamic Catholic. Mm-hmm. Matthew Kelly.
Yeah, right.
All of those, that nomenclature has helped us to come up with our mission and vision for our own community. But we have four pillars for the mission and vision: to belong, receive, share, and strengthen. And for our community, we've put a lot of emphasis on the belong stage so far. We've had a year dedicated to that because a lot of people in our parish come from all different parts of the United States and the world. And so it's important for us to have our large parish feel like a small parish. And the small group program has been very successful, I believe, in helping facilitate that feeling of closeness.
Right.
So the first step, this belong step, is kind of a humanization step. Archbishop Antoine would always talk about humanizing, then evangelizing. But we also have to have our hearts disposed to receive the graces of God that we cannot merit. We as Catholics believe in the book of Romans and of Paul that we can't merit our way into heaven, but we sure are called to say yes to the gift and to receive the gift. But so often I think Catholics have all these gifts underneath the Christmas tree of their lives, and they remain unopened. And there's so many beautiful things, the sacraments, the liturgical life, going on retreats, beautiful ways for us to receive the undeserved gift of God's mercy and love. That's probably my Lutheran background in there. Well, I wanted to have that, receive the gift of God's grace. But also, we have a next year, we'll have an emphasis on strengthening your friendship with Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church. This is a year of challenge, whereas the first two pillars of the mission and vision are more receptive, the next two pillars are more active and giving. So with strengthening your relationship with Christ, the little icon I'm looking at here with our mission and vision is of someone carrying their cross. This is the stage in which we are asking people to reflect upon the graces they've received in the retreats and other apostolates we have, so that they can respond to the love of God in with virtue. So it's kind of like a year, which is next year, to focus in on the call to virtue and character development. But then finally, of course, we have to have the share the joy of the gospel. And of course, I shamelessly stole that phrase from Pope Francis, the joy of the gospel, in his letter.
I don't think he minds.
To be able to reflect upon how we're called to give away what we've been given. We see these beautiful testimonies. We encounter these beautiful testimonies people have. And we just can't keep the enthusiasm we have for our faith inside. We have to share it with others in different ways. And that's what that step of the mission and vision is all about.
Wonderful. So obviously this has been pretty meticulously planned out, and I know our listeners can't see it, but here in studio, you have a whole booklet that is showing forth these steps, these various steps, along with, as you said, Father, it's colorful, there's icons and that sort of thing for each of the steps and everything. So just backing up a little bit, you said this is the product of a good amount of time in preparation.
A lot of cooperation with the people of God and using lay genius, especially in best business practice, marketing. I mean, all those things are ways in which we can be all things to all people, like St. Paul asked us to do. We consulted with parish council, with the school staff and the school advisory committee, as well as trustees and others, to get all of their input, a survey that we gave to the parish so that everyone would have a voice to articulate the mission and vision.
Right. Deacon, where did you come in this whole process?
Certainly as a parishioner, and at the beginning of the preparation of the brochure, the raw materials were all there. And so I am the recipient of all of this effort that had been previously invested, and being able to see it to its fruition in a very appealing visual that every time you pick it up, you can go deeper into what this may mean to you. So it actually becomes a prayer aid for our parishioners. So as a parishioner, I was aware and had been involved in providing my input, mm-hmm. but now as a staff member, being able to bring that to conclusion with the preparation of the brochure and the introduction to the rest of the parish, and now seeing it through a four-year plan, each pillar gets 1 year. We never forget about the prior ones, and we never ignore the ones that are coming up because they're all integrated.
Right.
But it's a building.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's it obviously flows one into the other, building upon each other, as you were saying. I'm just still interested in the whole formation of this, in terms of with all the reading that you did, and as you said, Father, the influence of Matthew Kelly, and I'm sure others as well, all the consultation that you did with parishioners and with business models and all these different things that were going on, all the people that undoubtedly were involved in even putting together the booklet, or making it in a accessible but also appealing format, and artists that were involved, all these things. How long are we talking about here? I mean, from first the kind of a germination of the thought of, hey, we really need to kind of revamp our mission, to this. Mm-hmm. How long are we talking about?
I suppose it would have taken about a 2 to 3 year process.
Okay.
Of consultation, of prayer, reading. And then just to get everyone together in different groups and committees to get input and feedback.
Sure, sure. Well, 2 to 3 years, that's not overwhelming. I mean, but it does take some thought, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah. Did you sense any of the parishioners were they were getting anxious, or they wanted, they wanted this, like, yeah, let's get this done, or were they really okay with the timeline as you were putting it together?
Gosh, I'm really, the deacon is laughing, so he has something to say.
you know, it's the full spectrum. You know, some people would say that, well, I was perfectly fine where I was. Yeah. And, you know, as Jesus is, you know, as we know, Jesus will meet us where we're at, but he's not content to leave us there.
Right.
So this is to help move people along in their journey of faith to get to know and love Jesus Christ. Yes, there were people that were anxious, and they're going, why is this taking so long? And it was very intentional, and Sherry Waddell's book of Intentional Discipleship was also another big influence in our formation of this, because it truly was prayer to create it. And so lots of people were saying, okay, when is it coming? We want to get on board. And so that is, you know, it's this balancing act of trying to hit the right level of detail that doesn't paint us into a corner, that doesn't limit us, but then gives us the guidance and direction for moving forward.
And people can find different pillars of the mission and vision to be a port of entry that they prefer or feel called to fulfill better than others. For example, the share the joy of the gospel step is something that has been done very well, beautifully, through the wonderful work of Deacon Tim Helmicky and Charity and Justice at St. Hubert, to be able to share that love, to wash the feet of the poor, and to continue to do that. Some people are attracted to that. Other people are more attracted to social events. So we've had several social events to be able to bring in both men and women. Or someone is more attracted to the interior life. And this week, or this year, I've been talking in my series of homilies more about prayer, and how anyone can pray contemplative prayer. It's not something just meant for monks, nuns, and religious. So different points of entry.
I think that's a really good point, Father, especially as I can imagine that it can be a challenge, just like Deacon, you were talking a little bit about, where people are on different points along the journey. They're at different places along the spectrum, that sort of thing. Just you have some people who are relatively new and still needing, kind of in that infant stage of needing that spiritual milk that St. Paul talks about, whereas others are pretty advanced. They've developed a long-standing relationship with the Lord and continue to grow deeper, but they want to enter in. And so it can be a little bit of a challenge, I would imagine, to meet people where they are and then invite them to go further.
Share. Thanks to the work of our staff members and the fantastic feminine genius at our parish, we have a wonderful program called GROW that was invented several years ago by Ashley Burns and some other people on our staff. This is a wonderful example of belonging to the family, or in theological speak, pre-evangelization, so that it's a very non-intense, you know, kind of laid-back way for ladies to come for an evening of fun, and then to introduce Jesus in the context of that, and then invite them to go to the next step. What we found in our reading of the evangelical churches is that they do a wonderful job of what's next. So we try to bring in the small groups, or possibly a women's retreat. We've had Liz Kelly come several times, and appreciate our partnership with her in guiding us closer to the heart of Jesus.
Yeah, very good. So as these, all these things are going on, and I've been to St. Hubert's before, I've seen that, I mean, you have a lot of things going on. And does this outline of this mission and this discipleship program, then, it seems to me it kind of provides an umbrella over all the different activities that are going on and focuses them. Would you say that that's true?
One of our wonderful staff members is Megan Hathaway, our communications director, and she has divided our website into the four pillars. And she's also taken the random posts, more or less, on our bulletin boards and aligned them with the mission and vision. So it helps. I think what the Catholic Church needs is especially simplicity. We believe beautifully, we believe in all the teachings of the church, the beautiful teachings, but we also want to make sure that Jesus animates each of the steps, and that people's questions are being answered, because Jesus is the answer to every question, but we want to give a chance for people to ask questions as well, so that when they belong to the family, they feel like they're known and loved, even in a large parish.
Sure. What is a disciple? I mean, how would you, if we're talking about a parish discipleship program here, what are we hoping to see happen?
Well, you know, Jesus did not tell us to go form people. He told us to go make disciples. And this is a shift that we have seen in where we used to have what we would call faith formation or religious education. And now we've shifted that to being a discipleship program, to really be that advocate, that partner, that close friend with Jesus Christ. And so we see when people truly have that relationship with our Lord and Savior, the joy that comes from that, and that is infectious. And so we want, excuse me, we want to enable people to have that joy and then to be able to go out and share it. And sometimes it's in words, sometimes it's in actions, sometimes it's just in their prayerful position. And so it is to go out and be the disciple to someone else.
Right.
Another reason why we chose this term discipleship is because we believe very strongly that, in the words of one of my mentors, Father Francis Kiddock, pastor of St. Charles Borromeo in Northeast, that the school is the greatest means of evangelization we have. And we have a very large Catholic school. We're very proud of it and of the fine work that the teachers and administrators and staff do there. The term discipleship is more inclusive of an effort of being formed than faith formation. Faith formation is CCD, we think of it that way. So what we want to do is have comprehensive programs that in different ways include both the school children as well as the children that go to the public schools. So for example, we have a lot of parishes have The Edge, which is one of those faith formation sort of discipleship programs for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And there's a lot of school children that come to that as well as the children who go to the public school. So discipleship is meant to be that inclusive term and kind of a cradle-to-grave term of being able to, go through the different cycles of humanization, of evangelization, of deep conversion, spreading the good news.
Right. And I mean, obviously it comes to us right from our Lord and from his call to discipleship that comes right out of the scriptures, of course. But it syncs well, right, with the ongoing tradition and understanding of the church, especially even our Holy Father right now calling us to be missionary disciples, right, to share of the love of the Lord of Christ or the love of Christ and then invite people into a closer relationship with that. All right. So I want to go back. Father, you did lay out the four pillars, but I want to just briefly explore each one of them again. So let's take the first one, which you said is belong. And that was one of the things you said. This is kind of the stage that you're really focusing in on at present. Is that correct?
It's meant to be, I like to use the image of on-ramps because I'm on the highway a lot. So
okay.
It's kind of an on-ramp into the spiritual life so that through an experience of humanization, which means knowing that you're known and loved on a human way, you're not just a statistic or part of the herd, that you'll be able to feel valued and that you'll want to know why and what the source is of the love that you're receiving from our parishioners as we welcome new people to come in, which can be this transition which helps you into the next step. But it's very important for us to continue to build up credibility and trust, especially in our archdiocese and parishes as well. And by having events that help us to get to know each other on a human way and to develop friendships, we hope that those will be things that will pave the way for Jesus to enter into people's hearts. And a thirst for him will come as a result of those human experiences. But the heart of the matter is receiving the gift of God's grace, and
which is the second
step. The second pillar, I guess this is my spiritual direction training speaking. I did a lot of work at the seminary in that, and my desire above all is for people to know in the parish that that God loves them in a personal way, and that God is real, and that God can be trusted, and that God desires to have his people to live a life of serenity and peace that can only come through Jesus, and that a special focus happens in St. Hubert on the healing ministry of Jesus as well. So we've had Dr. Bob Schuchs and two of his retreats, one on men and the other one for couples. We'd like to perhaps in the future have another one with Bob coming to bring the charism of healing that he has as well. Mm-hmm. And with this enthroning Jesus at the center of our heart step, this receiving the gift, because we can never receive enough, we have to keep going back to the fount and receiving more. There just comes this desire to not encounter Jesus only by himself, but to encounter him in the body of the church. You can't just have a head and a body. You have to have the body and head together. And that is the step where we take a look at the moral teachings of the church that challenge us, that are difficult, because it's important for us not to be passive, but to be actively receptive and active in living out this third pillar, where we're called to be able to grow in virtue and habits that are good, and to even throughout vocational discernment with our young people, to be able to consider a vocation. We're very proud of Kyle Etzel, one of our seminarians who's in the seminary now. We also have another young woman who is discerning religious life with the Little Sisters of the Poor, who have an awful lot of fortitude. We're very proud of them as well. And others are discerning vocations. So this is the step where we want to give our whole heart to Jesus in poverty, chastity, obedience as a goal, or in the flavor of that for the lay state. But then again, in the future, we're looking forward to sharing the joy of the gospel. And of course, everyone has different levels of comfort with that. But we will do some door-to-door work with those who would like to do that in a very human way, in a very respectful way, loving way. And we're thrilled to have Deacon Pat Hurl and his wife Denise to help us in that endeavor.
Yeah, he was on the show last week, actually. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're very happy about that as well. But of course, everyone witnesses to Christ in their own way. It might be very simple or very short kind of witnessing in the elevator, your elevator speech, you know, when mm-hmm. someone asks you about your faith. Or there may be other ways in which we can share the good news as well.
Mm, yeah. So once again, belong, right? And then receiving the gift of God's grace, mm-hmm. strengthening our friendship with Christ.
In the Catholic Church.
In the Catholic Church,
yep.
Exactly.
There's, right? Yeah. And then right. Share the joy of the gospel are the four pillars.
Wow. Yep. Wonderful. All right. So we're wrapping down our time together. I'm sorry to say I've got more questions. But Father, just from you, and Deacon, I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind sticking around for the next segment as well.
My pleasure.
As we have Greer coming in to talk here for her experience of the whole mission of St. Hubert's as a parishioner of St. Hubert's. But Father, just from you, first of all, how can people find out more if they want to learn more about St. Hubert's, but also your mission in particular?
Come on Sunday morning. We'd love to have you. Or Saturday night or Sunday evening.
Yeah,
we also
okay.
have that Mass as well. You'll find that we have a different liturgical emphasis with each of the Masses. 5:15, 10:30 is St. Hubert's as usual. The 8:30 Mass would be a little bit more liturgical, and the 6 p.m. is more of a praise and worship Mass. But you're also welcome to look at our website, which is www.sthubert.org, sthubert.org, to learn more about the mission and vision.
Nice. Very good. Well, Father, I want to say thank you to you for taking time out of your undoubtedly busy schedule to come up to the studio today and be on the Rediscover Hour. So thank you so much.
My privilege. Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, thank you. We're going to go to our next break, and as we do so, we're going to come back. Deacon Baus is going to stay with us, and then Greer Hussey, a parishioner at St. Hubert's, is going to join us to talk more about the Parish Discipleship Program at St. Hubert's.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Every day, I learn something new, and I'm filled with so much joy. And after about 6 months, I went to confession and started going to Mass again and receiving the Eucharist. If it weren't for you and what you do, I'd still be lost out there.
We hear from so many who may have wandered away from the church, wandered away from the sacraments, and there's something about what they hear on Relevant Radio, the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, bringing them back to church.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Please consider making a donation today. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society today at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Say, take this bread, take this wine, now the simple made divine, for any to receive.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer. Coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and sponsored by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. And we are talking about the Parish Discipleship Program, as was featured in the last segment, the difference between at least the way we perceive discipleship versus faith formation and some of the important things that are inherent in that, and Jesus sending forth his apostles to go and make disciples, right? And joining us now in studio, well, remaining in studio, is Deacon Jim Baus is staying with us, but also now joining us is Greer Hussey, who is wife of Scott, mother of three kids, and Catholic schools proponent and volunteer, a cursillista. Yeah, that's just about right anyway. Confirmation small group leader and an enthusiastic supporter and parishioner of St. Hubert for 19 years.
Woohoo!
Yeah, welcome to the program, Greer. Great to have
you
on.
Thank you. Thanks
for having me. Yeah, so let me ask you, if you've been there for 19 years, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a significant portion of time. When the first rumblings of this, hey, we're gonna relaunch, revamp the parish mission, when that started hitting your ears as a parishioner, How did you respond? What did you think?
You know what? I think it all started before, just a few years ago, when they started putting it to paper. Because when Father Tollefson first came to St. Hubert, I'll never forget it. It was 4th of July weekend, and we had our big Chanhassen parade. And he was climbing over people to hand out literature about St. Hubert, about how much Jesus loved them, about how he wanted people to come to Mass. You know, join us at 10:30. You've got little kids. It'll be great. Oh, we've got an 8:30 Mass. So I knew things were going to be different from the minute he walked into the door. So it's lovely to have some structure and some form behind this, but this has just been a natural occurring thing ever since he's walked in the door. And we're really grateful for the direction. And now we have, you know, beautiful things that we can refer back to. So grateful for that.
Right. And Deacon, you've been a parishioner there as well, is that right?
Parishioner for 15 years.
15 years. Okay, yes. So yeah, Greer's has outlived you just a little bit there on as far as a parishioner goes.
Yeah, she had a head start.
She had a head start.
Yes.
Very nice. So I'll ask you the same question. What was your thought as some of this parish mission revamping started coming about?
The church is like a river. It continues to change. It continues to flow. It is the life of Christ. So change is inevitable. Change is good. And the church teaches, you know, what the church teaches is, it's not true because the church teaches it. The church teaches it because it's true. And so in this world of, well, my truth, your truth, no, there is one truth. And we have the ability to present that in a way that is relevant to the community. And so engaging people again where they're at and inviting them not to just feel like they belong, but that they truly do belong to this family, knowing that if they're out of town, someone will notice that they weren't there. We have a burgeoning men's ministry that is phenomenal, and Greer's husband Scott has graciously been leading that effort. And we do social things, and we got a little bit of flack from some of the women because the men go and do a brewery night. And it's just a social piece.
I'm
many.
In.
Many. Yeah, there's not just one.
It's about a brewery night.
And we do that. And, you know, yes, there is a prayer component to it, but it's socialization, and mm-hmm. the guys wear name tags, mm-hmm. and they get to know each other, and then now they see each other at Mass, and it's more than just nodding. They actually go up and engage in conversation. So the relationships are forming within the body of Christ, and this is something that is absolutely critical in the life and growth of a parish, but more important, the life and growth of individuals as Christians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My kids laugh because they used to have to wait for 15, 20 minutes after Mass for Mom to say hello. Now, me and my children will be waiting in the narthex, and it's Dad that's in there saying hi to all his buddies and excuse me, chatting. And it's just such a beautiful thing to see the men really connecting by name.
Yeah, that is a very good thing. Just how did you first start getting involved, or what have been your roles in this whole formation of the mission and the whole process that was involved there.
You know, if somebody, my husband's an ideas guy, and if somebody's got an idea, I'll just say, yeah, let's do it. And I'm kind of the engine behind that. So he comes up with great ideas all day long, all week long, and I just try to say, yeah, let's do it, let's do it. So, you know, different people have said, we need a women's Bible study. You know, there's a need for it. Tuesday mornings look like a good time. And I'm just so, I don't know if I'm just dumb and just follow, but I said, I'll do it. So I stood up there and, you know, just called a bunch of friends, and other friends called them. And before we knew it, we were shocked. We had 65, 75 women showing up for a first year Bible study. And people said, yeah, it may or may not last. It's even stronger now. I don't know the number now, but I bet you we have 100 different groups at St. Hubert meeting because there's been an effort toward that. The men's ministry took off. It's crazy. I bet I could come up with 15 different men's groups that meet all around St. Hubert, all different times of the day. The Christistas are meeting. You know, it's just incredible. You can't get a room at St. Hubert right
just
now.
Just for clarification, too, some of our listeners may not know, what is a Cursillista?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Cursillo is a wonderful retreat. It's led by lay leadership in the church. There's always a deacon couple and a priest at the retreat, but it's a beautiful retreat. And the best component about it, everybody thinks it's this awesome, special, wonderful retreat. But really, the power of Cursillo is that fellowship that comes afterwards, because we all meet weekly then, and we share, what are you praying about? What are you studying? How are you giving back? How are you acting on what Jesus is calling you to do? And that's really the beautiful power. And that's, I think, you know, that's what the small groups are trying to do. Cursillistas are simply a part of that small group movement, but we've got grow women meeting there, meeting each other that never have. 70-year-old women are friends with 20-year-old women. It's just a beautiful way for every age group, every person who's got some, you know, different thing that they like to do. I call them superpowers. If that's your superpower, go for it. You're going to find other people who are just like you, and it's super, super fun to see that happen, especially having been here for so long.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, Greer, if you can take a moment. I mean, that's great, and I love the picture that you're painting about what God is doing in and through St. Hubert's there, and having people come together to build some authentic communion. That's an essential part, of course, of the life of the disciple. You personally, and what not just what you've done, but just reflect a little bit to us, for all of us. How has this affected your own personal walk with the Lord, your own personal relationship to the Lord?
You know, people say to me, wow, you volunteer a lot. And I just laugh, because this is all God's gift to me. And I think I can see that, whereas other people don't see the miracles every day. But I go home every night and go, thank you, Jesus. I got to meet with 14 beautiful 13-year-olds today, and I learned from them. So to me, I always get it that it may be an assignment from my small group or from my Bible study, but it's something that God needed me to know today that's going to help me tomorrow. And I think just from being involved in all these things, that's been the beautiful gift that I've taken away. Another thing is, I want to give a plug for our Catholic school, St. Hubert School. Our children evangelized me and Scott. Mm. There is no denying that. We both have Catholic roots. And we both loved the church and always went to church and, you know, participated in Mass, and we were friendly. But when our children started coming home with questions that we didn't know, or they were correcting us, I mean, that's when we said, we got to get serious about this. And I think the real start for us was our Cursillo weekend. And I would recommend that anyone do it, especially, you may think you're too busy when you have young kids. You need to do it when you have young kids. Your whole family spiritual life will change.
Similar question for you, Deacon, especially as you have a position, you're employed there at St. Hubert's, and speaking as another parish employee, I know that sometimes I'm going to be honest here, it feels like a job. I mean, it's always a calling, and it's always, but sometimes it's, yeah, I'm trudging through emails, and I can personally anyway lose sight of, you know, this is important, because this is part of not only this person's growth and relationship with the Lord, but my own. But how's the experience been for you in terms of your own personal relationship with the Lord, your own personal faith?
Well, we don't have near enough time. St. Hubert has, you know, we did the Jeff Cavins Bible study starting, I think, in 2003, 4, 5, and 6. And in 2006, my wife and I went with Jeff over to the Holy Land. That's actually where I received, you know, recognized my calling to discern the diaconate. And so St. Hubert has been foundational in supporting me in my discernment of, is this truly what God is calling me to be? And God calls us to be, not to do. We are human beings, not human doings. And so I was working at Cargill at the time. I had worked with, you know, eventually in 2014, I left there after 33 years. But Cargill supported me in my formation and then after my ordination. And there is no separation. You know, we can talk about work-life balance because I take from one, I give to another. When we talk about a faith and life, it's not a balance, it's an integration. And I am so blessed to be employed at a place that we can begin with prayer. And, you know, we get news of the death of someone who is close. And as soon as that comes in, we stop what we're doing in the meeting and we offer up a prayer. And to be able to close meetings with a closing prayer, and if you've got clergy present, in any meeting that you're in that you have clergy present, put them to work and ask for a blessing before you leave the meeting. Mm-hmm. And so we do that. And I have my staff remind me at times that I need to be able to do that. And so they will ask for the blessing. So I truly believe I've never been busier in my life since ordination, that it's just crazy. I've never been more joy-filled. Mm. And so even we've had some large funerals in the past few weeks. There may not be happiness at a funeral, but there's joy. Mm. Joy is everlasting. Joy is something that truly comes from the love of God. And so the joy that comes in my life, because I truly believe that I am getting closer to what God created me to be. And to be able to do that in a place that supports me, and yes, even pays me to do that, is fantastic.
Mm, yeah. What a wonderful testimony.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's just moving. Yeah. And by the way, we will ask you for a blessing before we end the show here. So it's coming. Right. Got a few minutes left, though, Greer, just to turn back to you for a second, too. I'm wondering, as you look at the four pillars here of the St. Hubert, Parish discipleship and the mission of St. Hubert and everything, and just in case folks need to go back and be reminded, and they need to go back and listen to the beginning of the show, but belonging to the family, right? Receiving the gift of God's grace, strengthening our friendship with Christ in the Catholic Church, and then sharing the joy of the gospel. Any of those particularly stand out to you as something like you're really excited about? I mean, is there any one particular one?
Definitely. Receiving. Because every day is an unmerited gift from God. Mm. So take note. I mean, what I try to show, especially my confirmation kids in group, is every day we're starting out saying, where did you see God this week? Where was God present to you? Did he get you a cool parking spot, when you were going getting to basketball a little bit late? Did he help you when you didn't think you'd remember that answer on the test? So that, for me, it's receiving God's grace every day.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think, as you were saying before, Deacon, these things kind of build one on another. And
absolutely.
When you receive God's grace like that, it starts to overflow, right? It starts to, you're sharing some of that joy that you were just talking about of the gospel.
You cannot outgive God. And so God, God will pour into you all of his graces and just wash over you those graces. And they have to flow to other people. Mm. The love that we receive from God, we can give it freely away and we receive more. Mm. And it's so counterintuitive, but it is knowing Jesus Christ and knowing that that is what he wishes for us, is that true love and that true friendship with him as a person.
Mm. Amen. In all of this, it's sounding more and more to me like, this is something that people should want to get on board with, because it seems to me that this is what Christ intended in his church, right? These pillars, as you've named them, but it's right along that go and make disciples, as we've already talked. Greer, one word from you for an individual who says, I want to take the next step, not redoing a parish mission, but I want to do today, I want to do something that's one step more. Any thoughts as to what you'd say to one person who just wants to take the next step?
You know, that one person knows 100 people, and I would just say, call your friends. That's what we do. A couple weeks ago, we had a friend who was dying, terminally ill, and he did pass away. And, you know, we got probably 150 people out to his house the very same day we thought of the idea to just go pray a rosary on his front doorstep. And that just started with one person saying, let's just go pray a rosary. It was my husband said, let's do it. And I called 5 people. They called 5 people. They called 5 more. That shows community. That shows discipleship, being willing to just pick up the phone and talk to someone. Wow. And it was really lovely.
Wow. Very good. How about you, Deacon?
It is, I'll tag on with Greer. It is invite, you mm-hmm. know, and it is that personal invitation from one person to another. Let me share with you. Let me introduce you to my very good friend, Jesus Christ. And from that piece, it all starts to build.
Amen. All right, Deacon, the time has come. Will you give us an on-air blessing, please?
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless, keep, and protect you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Greer Hussey, Deacon Jim Bouse, thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour today.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, what a great episode. I hope that you can go back and maybe even share this episode with your friends. As we go into our final break here, we've got all sorts of things that you can invite your friends to be with you on. So stick with us, and we're going to run through them right after this. Rediscover.
Catholic United Financial, based right here in the Twin Cities, has been part of helping this Catholic community for nearly 140 years. I'm John Ginther of Catholic United Financial. Catholic United Financial provides members with quality life insurance and retirement saving options, while giving them opportunities to impact their Catholic parishes, schools, and community. Catholic United is not for profit. We transform profits into purpose. As a fraternal insurance company, Catholic United provides our members with excellent insurance and financial products, and we return our profits to our Catholic communities in the forms of grants, scholarships, and assistance. Let me help you personally with a life insurance or retirement product. You're not only protecting your family, you're also providing for the greater good of our Catholic community. Give me a call, John Ginther, at 612-644-0563. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
When the sea love in the minor places, seek no more the heavenly sign.
Seek no more the heavenly sign.
When the sea love.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Paul, that was, but I could just sense joy in this studio.
Oh, yeah.
As they were sharing. Wow.
Yes, yes.
Just so wonderful to hear. And there's so much joy to be had.
Indeed. All we have to do is take it.
Amen. So it's out there, and here's some opportunities for joy.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to come to the Winter Theology on Tap series at O'Gara's in St. Paul. Topics focus on faith and contemporary issues that directly affect the lives of young adults. Join us Wednesday, February 7th, to hear from Father Pietro Rosati, Priestly Fraternity of St. Charles Borromeo. Social hours 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Father Pietro will begin at 7:30 p.m. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org.
WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, invites women of all ages and stages to the WINE Catholic Women's Conference on Saturday, February 10th at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. The theme, Hope, an Anchor for the Soul, is inspired by St. Philomena's example and Pope Francis's invitation to fight against enemies of hope, like discouragement and negativity, in order to shine as beacons of hope to those we encounter. The day includes inspirational talks, music, lunch, prayer, shopping, confession, chocolate, and more. Hopefully the chocolate comes before the confession. This conference is the perfect way to prepare for Lent, which begins the week after the conference. Registration is $65. For more information and to register, visit www.catholicvineyard.com and select the events tab.
The Curatio Apostolate invites you to a 10 a.m. Mass celebrated with Archbishop Hebda on the World Day of the Sick, February 10th at St. Joseph in West St. Paul. Following the Mass, there will be optional blessings with water from Lourdes, as well as a reception with refreshments and a talk given by Father Robert Altier. For more information, visit CuratioApostola.com or call 651-373-5369.
The Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office is sponsoring a winter teaching conference on evangelization entitled Boundless Enthusiasm for the Gospel on Saturday, February 24th from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Epiphany Catholic Church in Coon Rapids. Have your grown children left the church? How do you talk with people about the Catholic Church? Learn practical tools for evangelization. Pick from a variety of workshops and hear from speakers Jessica Balzerini, Father Michael Becker, Father Joseph Williams, and more. Don't miss the Sending Forth Commissioning from Bishop Cousins. Pre-registration, which includes lunch, is $35 or $45 at the door. For more information, visit the website ccro-msp.org or call 763-571-5314.
And a quick note about the Archdiocesan Men's Conference, Saturday, March 10th, 2018, St. Thomas Academy, Mendota Heights. This year, the topic, Building Christian Fathers. For questions, call Enzo Randazzo, 651-291-4483. Next week,
we've got a guest, Tiso Rosales, who's actually been a guest host here on the Rediscover Hour, who's the Director of Development at St. John Vianney College Seminary, and he'll be on air to share about the Virtuous Business Leaders, a program which was started by our late Father Bill Baer. May he rest in peace. We'll also hear from Mother Olga, founder and mother of the Religious Order of the Daughters of Mary of Nazareth. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.